go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know what? There are days when, before showtime, you just want to crawl under the table and hide. This kind of feels like one of those, and not because yet another badass thunderstorm is rolling through here. Maybe it's gone by now. Power flickered. Interweb tubes went down for a few minutes. They came back up. I've got super glue on my fingers, crossing them together, I guess, in perpetuity now. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Your home for conversation radio on the interweb tubes. Of course, The Horn is available for listening live or to the rerun stream at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. It's also available at places like Stitcher Internet Radio, and iTunes Radio, and TuneIn Radio, and Tuner Internet Radio. Neat, huh? One of these days, we still maintain the ambition of being on the Progressive Voices app. I use it just about every day to keep track of stuff. When I was driving late at night, it was just a very dark night, down a two-lane road that I couldn't see either side of, headed to Selma. That Progressive Voices app came in really handy because I did something I was rarely able to do. I was able to listen to Malloy in the car. It's nice. No, not because of the thunder, and man, the wind was fun. That's not what has me under the table. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday on The Horn. Podcasting available at whiterosesociety.org with the newly fixed feed. And podcasting available at iTunes as well. No charge for any of them, ever. The Horn is funded and maintained by you. By you who can give, whether it be $5, $10. You know, we talk about a thrifty $250 of 250 people giving $10 a month. And not going for that whole $50 million, I want a Gulfstream 5 to fly with my illegal Viagra prescription down to the Dominican Republic that probably shouldn't even be mentioned on the Internet. That's not what we're after. We're not after that kind of Limbaugh money. We're just trying to keep this thing going. If you want to help, the button is at headonradionetwork.com. It's PayPal. It's real easy to see. It's really bright and bold and gold or yellow or something. Right. So if you can help, please do. We're just trying to get after, and, you know, things are what they are. We had magnificent help the other night. From Sal, and from those of you who met his challenge, thank you very kindly. Got some bills paid. But it has been, no kidding, a brutal, brutal month. And this is not why I wanted to crawl under the table either. But it's been a hell of a month. And I would just as soon not have another July like this and not have August be like July. And so I'd say at this point in time, we're still looking to pay about, and we're not even talking about meeting thresholds or anything anymore. We're just talking about getting the bills paid. Looking to pay something on the order of $800 worth of bills that'll get us to August. That's where we stand. That's 80 folks at 10 bucks a piece. That's not so terrible. That's not unapproachable. It is not unachievable. Probably not tonight. But thank you for all the help that you give in keeping this all going. Thank you. You can also contribute by snail mail. The snail mail address, which happens to be 1038 The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, which stands for Personal Mailbox, 318 Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801. The snail mail address does the same thing. It helps pay bills. And you're as free to use that as you are to use the PayPal button. I heard from Boss Man Wayne today, and he said he had we had received help at the mailbox, too. So he was paying bills. I've been paying bills. We're just trying to get out of July with our with the horn intact. So thank you for all that you do to keep everything going. If you cannot tell, the fundraising business is very uncomfortable for me to talk about. It would be so nice just to get on the air and go and do the show. Unless it's today, Thorn in the Side Thursday. Because, I mean, there's some stuff out there that I got to, that, you know, I've talked about it before. There's just times when you're standing there and you're looking at the swamp and you're here and the swamp's there and you know you got to go into the swamp and you don't want to go into the swamp and, hey, it's kind of, this Thursday's kind of swampy. But we'll get into our waders and just hope that the gators are somewhere else and get moving. We reserve Thorn in the Side Thursday, of course, for those things that are especially annoying, obnoxious, hateful. In other words, things that Republicans do. And we'll go there. Be patient with me. Oh, a program note. God, am I trying to avoid this or what? A program note. Next week we will be on the road. But unlike earlier, we think we've got a situation worked out, or a scenario worked out, or a fix, or a firing solution, or whatever it is, whereby we can broadcast live from the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign headquarters on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and that way I won't be gone all week, because the gone part is just, after the month we've had, is simply unbearable. So there's that. Just tune in as usual. Agnes will be here at the mix desk, routing your phone calls to me. If it doesn't work out that way, well, it looks like a filibobster. But I have no reason to think that it won't work out. I think it will. Oh, thank you very kindly. A kind contribution just rolled in. We now need about 760 or 76 thrifty 250 contributors. Thank you kindly. And sometimes I use names, sometimes I don't use names. Tell me if it's okay to use your name when contributions roll in. Because I like to let folks know who's helping. And that is the beauty of the process. Because nobody has to pay for the podcast, nobody has to pay for the live stream, nobody has to pay for access, nobody has to pay to get into the chat room, all of which are completely at odds with all forms of Republican business models, then the horn is truly organically maintained. You maintain it because you find value in it. And when you contribute, you are contributing for the benefit of those who cannot, because those there are many who cannot. And I understand the circumstances and sympathize with them, because I've been there. We've been there. All of us at one point in time or another have probably been there. But it is a group effort for group good. and that's inspiring. Now, I did mention that I'm going to be in D.C. next week, and I'm going to be there trying to get more co-sponsors for the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act. It's H.R. 5959. It has been heroically co-sponsored. The process started with Representative Dennis Sinich, was quickly joined by Representative Louise Slaughter and a group of other members of the House, people like John Conyers, people like Representative Judy Chu, people like Representative John Yarmuth. Rather profound who's who's list of progressives in the House of Representatives have gotten on board. Representative Maurice Hinchey. And I was proud to see today that we got two more co-sponsors. One of them was especially gratifying because, well, they're both gratifying because they're both good progressive people. And in fact, we had discussed last week one of these individuals on the Horn Malloy Skype group chat late Friday night. I believe it was Larry who was talking about trying to bring pressure to bear on Representative Barbara Lee to make sure that, not pressure, but advocacy, awareness, to make sure that she knew the gravity of the struggle here in Appalachia for basic human rights, the right of unborn Appalachian children even to enter the world able to breathe without having that ability sold off. And I'll tell you in a minute where to, in exchange for corporate coal company profits. Representative Barbara Lee has become one of the most recent co-sponsors, one of the most recent signers of H.R. 5959, the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act. I got that word from my friend and colleague and comrade, Bo Webb, earlier today. And it made me very happy, and I know it will probably tickle the folks in the Malloy Horn chat. We're up to 16 plus Representative Kucinich, Lottie, yeah. But I think it'll probably tickle folks in that Skype chat, and hope it tickles and inspires you as well. The other new co-sponsor that we got today was Representative Rosa DeLauro of, I believe, Connecticut. And I know that she has also been informed by you, her constituents, that you, though you be not in Appalachia, stand shoulder to shoulder with those of us who are and who face the predatory conduct and the remorseless, ruthless behavior, the rapacious conduct of mountaintop removal coal companies. A report was released today. Oh, wow, you're following it on your Android, Lottie? You want to share how people can do that? Because they might find that handy. No, the Repiglicans had themselves a House Environment Committee meeting today to talk about the Obama war on coal, which is, of course, a humongous lie. Yeah, and we're waiting for the Massachusetts delegation to sign on to H.R. 5959 too, Lottie, and I'm going to be getting to that. No, repig-licking, the God-fearing, upstanding, America-loving Christian. Oh, the GOP had themselves a hearing about that there Obama war on coal. And it was about as intelligent as I just made it sound. Concomitantly, however, the Democratic minority in the House in that committee, as led by ranking Democratic member Massachusetts Representative Edward Markey, put out a fascinating, not to mention horrifying, document. The Democratic staff of the Natural Resources Committee released the document at the direction of Representative Ed Markey. It's called Our Pain, Their Gain. And it is a statistical analysis, among other things, of where mountaintop removal coal goes. Our Pain, Their Gain. If you will go, if you want to see the report, the best way to go about doing it is to go to ecowatch.org. Uniting the voice of the grassroots environmental movement, ecowatch.org. And look for U.S. Rep. Markey releases report on increase in coal exports. ecowatch.org/2012/Markey-coal-exports. Again, the name of the Democratic Committee report, Our Pain, Their Gain. You know, it was never something that was tolerable in the first place that mountaintop removal coal was providing electricity so that ignorant people, utterly unknowing of the misery and the agony and the tragedy that stalks these hills day in and day out. It was never pleasant to consider that mountains were being blown up, streams filled in, and literally unborn children being cheated of their ability to breathe so that clueless people could walk out of very well-lighted rooms and walk in a little bit later thinking nothing had changed. It was never pleasant to consider that mountaintop removal was supporting a wasteful culture that thinks electricity comes from a wall socket, as opposed to coming from communities that have been buried under tons and tons of toxic, dust-laden, heavy metal leaching rubble. No, that was never, it wasn't even comforting. But the information released at the direction of Representative Ed Markey today is even more uncomfortable. Of course, you knew about this because you listened to the horn. That means you're plugged in. Sorry. That means that you are informed probably better than anybody else on planet Earth about what's happening here in Appalachia. Because you know that not all of the blown up mountains in Appalachia go into some coal-fired power plant that contributes to disease and death here in the United States. You know, as people who didn't learned today, that a significant amount of mountaintop removal coal is blasted and gouged and scraped and dragged out of the earth and put on a truck. And the truck goes to a train terminal, and the coal gets on a train. And then the coal rides the train to the coast, and it gets on a boat. And then the coal goes to places like Russia and India and China. Our Pain, Their Gain. Mountains destroyed for coal shipped overseas. The EcoWatch article has a link to the PDF file that was created by the folks at democrats.naturalresources.house.gov. It is a 38 painfully accurate, horribly detailed report. It begins one of the coal industry's favorite ads in recent years, and I'll warrant you've probably seen it, and when you saw it, because you've learned the horrors of mountaintop removal, you've probably come damn near gagging. One of the coal industry's favorite ads in recent years displays an orange power cord plugged directly into a piece of coal. The picture is accompanied by words assuring the viewer that coal is cheap, reliable, and a key to the nation's domestic energy security. The message for Americans is that coal equals electricity in the United States, and to tamper with that would be to tamper with our way of life. But the Democrats pointed out, a more truthful ad would unplug the power cord and replace it with an ocean-going freight liner bound for steel mills and power plants across Europe, South America, China, and India. The image of the ship leaving an export terminal would then dissolve into the naked remains of what used to be a majestic Appalachian mountain. They didn't say, but I'll add, the oldest mountains on the entire planet. As the camera zoomed out to show the buried remains of streams and rivers and hillsides stripped bare by mining, the announcer would tell the viewer about a dramatically changing industry that is depending more and more on exports to survive. The box on that first page says, a growing body of research shows that mountaintop removal mines not only ruin ecosystems, but cause cardiovascular disease, cancer, birth defects, and poor overall health. Not to mention cheating little unborn babies of the ability to breathe. They're part of the mountaintop removal corporate power and profit structure, you see. It's not just the coal that gets on those boats and heads for places like China. It's little unborn babies' lungs. It's granddad's heart. It's grandma's liver. It's baby brother's kidneys. And your next door neighbor's brain. That gets on the boat, too. Because they're all necessary in order for the coal predators to get the profits that they wake up every morning and fall asleep every night lusting after. Coal exports have nearly doubled since 2009 to 107 million tons last year, now accounting for almost 12% of U.S. production. Three out of every four tons that are exported come from the Appalachian region. And often this coal is produced by mountaintop removal mining, a devastating practice that has blanketed communities with soot, contaminated drinking water, and destroyed 2,000 miles of streams. Go and read the report for yourself. It's fully footnoted. It is meticulously researched. In West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Virginia, 97 mountaintop removal, steep slope, and surface mines sent that strip-mined coal to prop up the steel industry and power plants and what have you of foreign countries that they then return, whose products then return to us in the form of a massive trade deficit. If Andy is listening, I'm sure he's thinking about what he wrote last night about NAFTA and GATT and SHAFTA and PAFTA. SAFTA, yeah. Since 2009, exported coal has grown in Pennsylvania, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Virginia by 91%. Of those mines, exports claimed half, more than half, of their production in the year 2011. Of those 97 mines, six of them exported 9 out of every 10 tons they produced. And along with those tons, as noted, went some unborn baby's ability to live, to breathe, to feel a healthy heartbeat. We are literally being killed. To fire Chinese, Russian, partial design is to bring the United States of America's economy to its knees. Unspoken in this report is something that badly needs to be spoken. Unspoken in this report is the fact that we could, as noted, at least on this program, we could eliminate every coal-fired power plant in the United States, and the blasts would still send toxic dust drifting in particulate sizes too small for the human body to be able to stop down over communities, over homes, and yes, over cribs. Because Alpha Natural Resources, Arch Coal, and their ilk, they don't care where the money comes from as long as the check clears. Why would they care where the money comes from? They don't care what has to happen to people who live near mountaintop removal in order for them to have the coal. They don't care. Money. Money. Must have more money. Throw another baby on the barge. We gotta profit, we gotta prop up the share price. And even if more coal-fired power plants convert to natural gas, which is no bargain, not for the planet, not for the planet's ability to support human life at least, we'll get to that in a minute. Even if every coal-fired power plant shuts down, all that does is provide more incentive to blow up more mountains, to put it on a boat. Because frankly, the coal companies get better coal prices from foreign buyers. An American coal company will sell wet black mud and call it coal. And overseas, the demand is so high and the hunger so profound that they'll pay just about any price. So at least we know that Representative Markey knows what's being done to people in Appalachia. Now, his Republican colleagues don't give a damn. We don't even bear notice. If we stacked the bodies like cordwood in front of Doc Hastings' office, he would not care. Because the only thing a Republican, the only thing a GOP monster thinks about is profit and money. But we do know that Representative Markey knows and that he does care. What he has not done thus far is sign on to the one, not one of, but the one bill that will end mountaintop removal, period. That's H.R. 5959, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It's the only one. There's another bill out there that would end some, but not all. It wouldn't, for instance, end the what's happened within 2 miles of this palatial estate. It wouldn't end it. It wouldn't end a lot of what's going on across the river from me near the borders of the boundaries of a national park. It wouldn't end it. Only one. Only one bill will end it. And that's the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. The bill has already gotten further than any mountaintop removal. There's never been a bill that eliminates mountaintop removal before, so of course it's already gotten further. But it is making, for what it is making stunning progress. And it is doing so in large part because of you. It is doing so because you have fearlessly picked up the phone. You have gone to your computer keyboard and written emails. And you haven't just written one, you've written several. And you've been persistent about it. And you've not been willing to take no for an answer. And that must continue. It simply must continue. And that's part of what, and I hope you'll stay in touch with me once I'm in D.C., because that's part of what I'll be doing. During the day, I'll be working the halls of Congress, knocking on doors, begging, and begging doesn't come easily to me, begging. For people to show some mercy to one of the most beleaguered regions of the entire United States and perhaps of the world. And while I'm doing that, if you can let me know that you are working a particular member of Congress, I will make a point of finding that office, and I will go through it, and I will go through it in your name. Not I, we. Ferg will be with me. My friend, my colleague, my comrade Bo will be with me. And it becomes twice as powerful when we can go through the door and say, listen, we know you're getting calls about this. Quit beating around the bush. What are you waiting for? Because, see, just to remind you, mountaintop removal costs $3,975 human lives in West Virginia every year. It's about 11 a day. Somewhere today in West Virginia, an undertaker is doing his thing on 11 people that had to die so mountains could be destroyed and sent to places like Russia and China and India. Might as well put the bodies on the boats, too. It's a slow ride. So, please, you can learn all you need to know about the AIC Act by going to AIC, ACHE, ACT.org. You can take action. It is almost, if not entirely, cost-free to you, save for your energy, your passion, and your compassion to advocate on behalf of the AIC Act. We can do this, but we can only do this by working together. And I can tell you, and I think I speak equally on behalf of everyone who's worked on the AIC campaign, behind the scenes and in the halls of Congress, that it is both inspiring as well as encouraging, and creates a profound sense of privilege to know that one is working in common cause and common concert and collegiality with decent, compassionate people from all across this country and even from outside this country's borders. One friend of mine is in India as we speak, and he's talking to people over there who are being poisoned by the coal industry. And he's telling them about how an Indian coal company is poisoning us over here. One of the friends that I made in Germany sent me a link on my Facebook page the other day to actions being taken in Scotland against the predators of the coal industry. Even as I speak, plans are underway in Wyoming and Montana to not go gently into a cold, black, nightmare future. We're going to get on that boat. We're not going to do so of our own free will. And we know that we have you standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, and that you will not let us be taken without a struggle. It's about 21 minutes before the hour. More to talk about, much more. I said I would mention the horrors that the planet itself is facing. Bill McKibben of 350.org has a new article out today in the latest issue of Rolling Stone. It's the copy that has a photo of Justin Bieber on the cover. Global warming's terrifying new math. Three simple numbers that add up to global catastrophe and that make clear who the real enemy is. Stunning numbers. The kind of stuff that makes your head swim. Early in the article, Mr. McKibben notes that June broke or tied 3,215 high temperature records across the United States. That followed the warmest May on record for the Northern Hemisphere, the 327th consecutive month in which the temperature of the entire globe exceeded the 20th century average. Now, try to get this one through. The odds of which occurring by simple chance, it just happens. You know, like when George Will says, it's just summer. Well, the odds of it being just summer are 3.7 times 10 to the 99th power. That, Mr. McKibben notes, is a number that's even a lot bigger than the number of stars in the universe. I can almost hear the knuckle-walking mouth breathers now. Well, how does he know how many stars there are? Which is, of course, part of the problem. When it is global in nature, for some reason people prefer to think that it might not be real, that it might just go away. It's the kind of thing that psychologists call magical thinking. Something that's done by addicts and people who are profoundly beset by mental illness, who also beset by profound problems in the world, in their homes, in their families, in their lives, in their bodies, are reduced to doing little more than saying, well, it'll be okay. Well, how? Don't know. Magic. It'll just happen. I'll win the lottery or something. And then I can go to the doctor. Like that. It is a long essay, and it is an essay that is well worth your time. RollingStone.com, politics. It is a frightening article. But if we are who we say we are, that we are in fact the reality-based community, then we are not going to shrink from reality. That's right, Lottie. Just tell the knuckle walkers that we progressives can count beyond 21. Read the article. It's necessary. Only in reading that article will you begin to see the depth and perversity of the lies told by organizations like the American Petroleum Institute or the Faces of Coal. You will also be armed, so to speak, with the information necessary, if not to change the minds of fools, then at least to show the fools for the fools they are. Global warming's terrifying new math. So far, we've raised the average temperature of the planet just under 0.8 degrees Celsius, writes Mr. McKibben, and that has caused far more damage than most scientists expected. A third of summer sea ice in the Arctic is gone. No, it's not, says Rush Limbaugh. I just looked at it from the windows of my Gulfstream 5, and there's plenty of ice in the Arctic so far. A third of summer sea ice in the Arctic is gone. The oceans are 30% more acidic. And since warm air holds more water vapor than cold, the atmosphere over the ocean is a shocking 5% wetter, loading the dice for devastating floods. Given those impacts, at 0.8 degrees Celsius warmer, many scientists come to think that 2 degrees is far too lenient a target. Any number much above 1 degree involves a gamble. That's from Kerry Emanuel at MIT, a hurricane expert. and the odds become less and less favorable as the temperature goes up. Yeah. NASA scientist James Hansen says, the target that has been talked about in international negotiations for 2 degrees of warming is actually a prescription for long-term disaster. Small island nations existing at or near sea level said plainly some countries will flat out disappear. It's just summer, right? It's just summer. That's probably because George Will has enough servants that he can quietly begin to eat if he has to. Like I said, it's a long article. I'm not going to read it to you. The numbers are measured in gigatons. It has to do with oil. It has to do with gas. It has to do with coal. At one point, Mr. McKibben writes, so far, as I said at the start, environmental efforts to tackle global warming have failed. The planet's emissions of carbon dioxide continue to soar, especially as developing countries emulate and supplant the industries of the West. Gosh, who helps them do that? Why, look, it's the Appalachian Mountaintop Removal Companies again. Loading them up and shipping it out. Our blood, our bones, our being, our ability to breathe, our very ability to exist in something resembling peace. Mr. McKibben also noted what I saw in late May. Germany is one of the only big countries that has actually tried hard to change its energy mix. On one sunny Saturday in late May, I was there. That northern latitude nation generated nearly half its power from solar panels within its borders. He says, that's a small miracle, and it demonstrates that we have the technology to solve our problems, but we lack the will. Yeah. But it's not just will, Mr. McKibben, that we lack. It's honesty. Not yours, not mine, but of those moneyed few who pump filth, not just from smokestacks into the air or filth from mountaintop removal detonations, roughly the equivalent to 700 Murrah Federal Building explosions per day in Appalachia. But pump filth into the air via the media that they own and control, in which they say, as you've heard me note before, all right, wind and solar might be all right in 100 years or so, but it don't really work right now. We're going to need some coal. Monday night, for more in Monday, you heard me, or maybe it was Tuesday night, I don't remember now. We talked about that blog post by Rhonda. Everybody knows that wind and solar is just a con. Don't y'all know that the sun don't shine every day and the wind don't blow every day? That's what happens when idiots listen to liars. Mr. McKibben does not pull any punches. He talks not only about failures to deal with the macro problem of climate catastrophe, but also talking about what has not worked. Green groups, he writes, have spent a lot of time trying to change individual lifestyles. The iconic twisty light bulb has been installed by the millions, but so have a new generation of energy-sucking flat-screen TVs. Most of us are fundamentally ambivalent about going green. We like cheap flights to warm places, and we're certainly not going to give them up if everyone else is still taking them. You know, just like India and China are not going to quit burning coal and consuming it as rapidly as we can blast and gouge and scrape and drag it out of the earth here in Appalachia. They're not going to quit burning it. Why should they? They finally got themselves a little 19th century industrial revolution going on, by God, and we want those iPhones and we want those iPads, and I am not going to sit here and be a hypocrite. I've got Chinese stuff all over me. But at least I acknowledge and you acknowledge and we acknowledge the damn problem. He says, since all of us are in some way the beneficiaries of cheap fossil fuel, tackling climate change has been like trying to build a movement against yourself. It's as if the gay rights movement had to be constructed entirely from evangelical preachers or the abolition movement from slaveholders. And is he right? Barack Obama doesn't get a pass. There are quotes in here. As he explained on the stump in March, you have my word that we will keep drilling everywhere we can. That's a commitment that I make. Go read the article. Tim from L.A. noting, you said 10 to the 99th? I said 10 to the 99th. Damn, Tim, I don't even know what that word is, and I've been reading English for a long time. 10 to the 99th duotrigintillion to 1? Notes Tim, them's pretty bad odds, Vegas. But it happened. But it happened. Dr. John, sea levels. Recall last year when the, I think, Maldives held a parliament meeting underwater with ministers in scuba gear? Tell them it's just summer. Yeah, and John, you remember what that got the prime minister? A coup. And now there's some nice fossil fuel friendly thugs in office. See? There's an old Bible joke that ends with God delivering the punchline when he says to Noah, how long can you tread water? This is that. Sometimes that book has some handy little allegorical myths in it. We don't need to build a big boat of gopher wood and go out and make sure that we save a mating pair of tsetse flies in order to save humanity on the planet. It is at one and the same time both more complex and less. Yes, it is. So, some nice informative reading for you there, and some action that you can take, and hope you will. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and as grim as some of that may sound, we're still standing at the entry to the swamp. I hope I'm not going to just chicken out and not go in. I have a feeling you'll drag me in. This is, of course, America's listener-supported liberal voice. Emphasis, of course, on listener and supported. You know how to reach the program, right? I hope our blinking light is still with us. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to save us the freight of the toll-free phone call, you can dial 304-658-3333. Yeah, by the way, you're never going to hear a Chick-fil-A commercial on this program. And you won't, in addition, hear me talking about having eaten anything from Chick-fil-A. You may know why. If you don't, maybe we'll get to it at some point. We call what we do here Conversation Radio, and it doesn't work very well without you. As such, I implore you to light up the phones. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back on the horn.
And now from the Grand Ballroom, yes, that's correct, proudly presents our boy singer, Jimmy Buffet. Take it away, Jim.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers been on a faraway shore.
Later.
Out on the brine with the moon big and shining, melting your heart of stone. Honey, I'd love to get you on a slow boat. All by myself alone. To get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. A twist in the rudder and a rift in the sail, drifting and dreaming. Honey, throw the compass over the rail. Out on the ocean, far from all the commotion, melting your heart of stone. Honey, I'd love to get you on a slow all by myself alone.
Wait, don't leave.
Honey, I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Like to take a stroll around the upper deck. See you there.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, July 19, my birthday, 2012.
The Midwest and Northeast bracing for more scorching high temperatures. We're already in the middle of our fourth heat wave of the summer.
Look at this massive haboob coming our way. And it's actually raining inside the dirt cloud.
U.S. weather is going crazy.
Hot town, summer in the city, and in the country, and in the mountains, and on the farms, and in the desert. The GOP goes to bat for Monsanto. The FDA bans BPA, sort of. Plus,
the sky hasn't fallen in.
Australia's new carbon tax fails to cause economic catastrophe.
All of that failure and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
104 to 106 degree weather we had last week is pretty much cooked corn.
Cooked them in the field. Some of them have just, literally cooked all the way through.
Cooked corn. What are you people complaining about? Sounds delicious. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen.
Wait. Happy birthday, Brad.
Oh, thank you, Desi.
It is your birthday today.
It is my birthday, and of course, across the country, it's hotter than hell. So I guess that's how the nation is celebrating.
That's right. It has been a week of wild weather across the eastern half of the country with more crop failures. And on Wednesday in New York City, the heat wave was broken by a sudden, intense storm, says Stephen Colbert.
These are the greatest people in the world. You have no idea what they have been through today. 145 degrees. Followed by apocalyptic lightning and hail. It's as if somebody opened the damn Ark of the Covenant out there today.
Was it really that bad or just another summer storm?
Oh, no. It was really that bad. It was so much water so quickly that it flooded several subway stations.
The storm that passed through New York City this afternoon dumped so much water that stations across the system were springing leaks.
Yeah, it sounds like just another day in the New York City subways.
Not in the 34th Street subway.
A couple hours of rain, and this 34th Street subway station had its own geyser, waterfall, and even its own pool.
Well, that doesn't sound bad. Sounds quite refreshing.
Just imagine what could possibly be in all of that water. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
Meanwhile, it's official. June 2012 was the fourth warmest June on record globally. That follows the warmest May on record. The U.S. Drought Monitor now says 61% of the continental United States is in exceptional or severe drought, the nation's worst drought in 50 years. Exceptional droughts and extreme heat waves aren't just bad for crops and people, but bad for rivers and power generation as well. The New York Times reports that barge traffic has dropped 70% in some areas of the Mississippi River due to low river flows. In the east, hotter rivers are complicating cooling operations at coal and nuclear power plants that rely on river water for cooling their operations.
The river water is itself too hot to cool the plants?
In many cases, yes.
Oh, man.
Meanwhile,
iceberg, go ahead!
NASA satellites have confirmed that a new iceberg has broken off the Petermann Glacier in Greenland. It's twice the size of Manhattan. And what's unusual, scientists say, is that it's the second massive iceberg to break off in 2 years, when normally they'd expect to see something like that every 10 to 20 years. The FDA bans BPA in baby bottles now that BPA is no longer in baby bottles. BPA, or bisphenol A, is a plastics chemical that mimics estrogen and has been linked to reproductive and neurological development problems. children. After years of pressure from public health groups, the Food and Drug Administration announced this week a new ban on BPA in baby bottles. But it's only after the U.S. Chemistry Council, an industry group, asked them to, confirming that its member companies have already stopped using it.
Very courageous of the FDA.
Speaking of weird stuff in your food, House Republicans are working hard on behalf of Monsanto and Dow Chemical, manufacturers of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs for short. The GOP is quietly adding measures to the 2012 Farm Bill that would exempt GMO companies like Monsanto and Dow from legal liability. It would also allow higher contamination of non-GMO crops and force automatic backdoor approval of new GMO products if federal regulators take too long. Finally, Australia officially launched its controversial nationwide carbon tax on that country's industrial polluters earlier this month, with revenues to go to Australian households. And yet, as noted by Australia Trade Minister Craig Emerson, the carbon tax has failed to produce the economic catastrophe predicted by Australian conservatives.
There has been an enormous scare campaign with claims that a leg of lamb will cost $100, that entire communities will be wiped off the map. Gladstone, the Illawarra, Portland, Kwinana, and of course Whyalla, and I was in Whyalla just yesterday. Whyalla's just fine.
Oh man, the first nation in the world to institute a carbon tax to actually charge polluters for the price of pollution, and Armageddon hasn't come?
Not so far.
Give it time. For all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation or consider it a birthday present to help sponsor the Green News Report. We rely on you, not Monsanto or Dow Chemical, to keep telling the truth over your public airwaves. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Eight minutes past the hour. This is hour two of Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. Toll-free number 877-443-2366 or straight through 304-658-3333. You guys have been really responsive with the music lately, and I appreciate that. That really tickles the old DJ in me. Last night, the night before, and Dr. John Diggin, Jimmy Buffet, as it's said in the song, Jimmy Buffett's Slow Boat to China. What the heck? Okay, well, that ended precipitously. Yeah, the production computer just gets a little sicker every day. Yeah, thanks for the cold ending there. God dog it. One of these days a tentacle's going to come out of this thing and it's going to be like Alien in here. Let's go to the phones. Somebody's been very patient, and I hope they're still there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita. You were the patient one. Thank you for your patience.
just a little aside, I ordered a skirt through the mail, and I got it yesterday, and I looked, and it was made in Egypt. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, dear. Well, you know, they
That's a new one on me.
They have some fine cotton. Is it a cotton skirt?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, speaking of getting things through the mail, I'll tell you. I found what I thought was a deal online for some audio discs for learning German.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, I thought it would be handy to not be quite so linguistically crippled if I have to go back over there again.
Yeah.
So I ordered it up, and then a couple of days ago I got this notice there was a package in the mail for me. The thing I'd ordered had already come in. Oh, the Bunko artists. I should have known. I ordered elementary German from a company called the Plimsler Approach.
Yeah, I get emails from them all the time.
Well, guess what it turned out? I opened the box. It's this really flashy, really cool-looking learn language program. And then I didn't order this. And then I saw the words free trial. And I looked again. And so what they were going to do was bill me $70 a month for the next 4 months and send me 4 boxes of Learn German discs that I never asked for. So I called them up, and I got this guy named Pete, who may or may not have been named Pete, and explained, and I had to get ugly with him.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't order this from you. And, well, yeah, you checked the terms and conditions box. I said, you have to check that box to move to the next screen.
Mm-hmm.
There, and you know, the unreadable fine print. And he said, well, all you have to, you know, he gives me the return authorization number, and all you got to do is mail it back to us. I said, well, I don't think I should have to pay the mailing charges.
Right.
And he said, well, of course you do. I mean, it's just $10. I said, do you know what I'd have to do for $10? I mean,
Bob. I'm not laughing.
Oh, no. I went ahead and painted him a little word picture. I said, do you know what it's like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows and slop the hogs? And so, but he spent the first 5 minutes of the phone call, 5 minutes of my life, wanting to try to talk me into taking his $70 a month deal. And they may or may not be good discs, but, you know.
That's not too much money. You can go to school or something. I mean, I'm sure you can find something cheaper than that.
Yeah, for that kind of money, I could move a German in.
Yeah, right. There you go.
And so I had to fight with him, and I said, okay, well, that's fine. I'll pay to ship it back to you. Then I'm going to call the Consumer Protection Division of the Attorney General's Office of West Virginia, and I'm going to tell them about you and your little bunco scheme here. Is that okay? He said, well, all right, since you threatened me, I'm going to give you a mailing label. I said, well, I didn't want to threaten you, and I didn't mean to threaten you. Wouldn't it have been just nice, maybe thinking that maybe Bob will come back to you someday?
Mm-hmm.
To have just given me the shipping label in the first place?
Yeah.
Oh, these predatory jerks. So anybody out there that's trying to learn a foreign language, be aware of the Plimsleur people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't touch them.
Well, I get the emails all the time. I'm going to send it to spam then.
Oh, yeah. Unless you've gotten
I've gotten a ton of emails from them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're predatory. They're absolutely predatory. And the funny thing is they're an imprint of what I thought was a respectable publishing house. I think.
Yeah, right.
I think they're under the aegis of Simon and Schuster.
Hmm.
Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think about stuff like that, getting stuff like that sometime. You know, I don't know about that other one.
Oh, Rosetta Stone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Texas Betsy's telling me in the chat room, Juanita, that I need to try Rosetta Stone. She says to see if the local library has them. Yeah, because there's no way I could afford to buy it. I checked into that stuff. That's like $375.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm just trying at this point. And, you know, the Goethe Institute has these online lessons, and they look really cool, and, you know, you talk, and you look in the camera, and you really, really learn.
And it maybe it is good, but don't trick it, you know.
Yeah. Why do you have to be conned with this kind of stuff?
Right.
Dirty, dirty, nasty, dishonest, fraudulent internet.
Yes, it is.
And yes, I will, Texas Betsy. She says, next time you need language training, ask me before you check any boxes. All right, Betsy, how's your German?
Good for her. I want to just say something that perturbs me.
Okay.
You don't mind it.
I hope I haven't perturbed you.
Well, it's that Zimmerman guy.
Oh, well, see, now, what did I say? What did I say, Juanita? I said, I haven't gone into the swamp yet, but you mark my words, one of you will drag me in. So there's Juanita, just grab me by the shirt collar and off into the swamp we're going to go, right? George Zimmerman, It was part of God's plan. Is this what you're thinking about? Part of God's plan for him to blow Trayvon away?
Yeah. The thing is that I turned on The View this morning. It was already started, and Barbara Walters and them were talking about it. And she had been asked to come down to Sanford to interview him, which, you know, they all want to interview anybody, you know.
Right, but you...
But she came down, and they said, well, we have Sean Hannity's here. He's going to interview him first. And anyway, when they got through, then they said they, she said he wanted them to do something that she couldn't comply with. And the other said, well, what is it, Barbara? She said, I can't say. I'm not at liberty, you know, to say. And they said, well, it must have been money. And, you know, anyway, they called.
Wow. So are we to understand then that Hannity probably paid for that interview?
Well, they, of course, they claimed that he didn't, but, you know. But anyway, during the show, I guess the lawyer's office called and said that Mr. Zimmerman wanted her to talk to her. And she says, well, you know, if he wants to talk to me, he has to get on the phone and let me interview over the phone or something. Well, they just hemmed and hawed around like he was the only person in the world that counted. And she finally told him, said, forget about it, you know, because they couldn't guarantee that he'd come home. They said, well, his lawyer wants to talk to you. And she said, no, I'm going to talk to him. But, that guy's something else.
Well,
I saw the first... hearing, you know, for his first bail. And I couldn't get over them saying they didn't have any money. Even his daddy, a retired magistrate who lives in an upscale residential area in Florida, he said he didn't have any money to help.
No, see, Lottie and I in the chat room are of one mind. We think that this is the prelude to him setting up his insanity defense. Because anybody who would say that basically God told him to blow away a 16-year-old boy with a bag of Skittles and a can of tea.
All the stuff he tells that is just, now he said today that he would have us bashing him in the head, you know, had a hold of him, and he took one arm, you know, like he was going to go for his gun. He said he didn't know if he had a gun or not, and so then I shot him. Well, what was he doing with his arms till then? I mean, everything he said.
Right, and that's the thing. This is so dangerous from a lawyer's defense standpoint, Juanita, that it can't help but be part of the setup to an insanity plea.
Well, but then another thing about that they're trying to do is saying, you know, that everybody's saying it's racist. Well, they're saying, you know, that nobody in that family is racist, and that his grandmother was part black and all, and they're not. Well, what has that got to do with the price of it? I mean, so what? Look at all the gays the secret gays that are ashamed of being gay. They want to hurt other gays.
Right. No.
I mean, that's got nothing to do with it. But I love what the guy...
You know what's funny? I keep looking at these ever-changing photos of this creep.
Yeah.
You know, it almost looks like he's had some sort of cosmetic work done over the last, 5 months? Have you noticed that? His look keeps changing.
At one point, they got
one picture of him looking like a skin-headed Pauly Shore. And he's... There's been a serious makeover.
And his father, you know, got up and swore that was him screaming. Well, why did he quit screaming, you know? And then he said today he said he didn't know he was dead until they took him down to the station.
Well, what did he think the bullet was going to do?
Well, why did he quit hollering, you know, just because you shot him? I don't think that was him hollering at all. I don't believe nothing that guy says.
No.
And why did he get out of the vehicle when he was told to stay, not to? was told not to follow him.
But I tell you what, we need some people out there, and this is just because I'm mean and cranky, Juanita. We need some people out there who are really, really followers of Jesus to look up and say, sorry, he is not a Christian, and God never told him to murder that young man.
Well, I think it, like the young man's father said, he must worship a different God than he did. And that's probably true. Has he said he was a Christian? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, he's babbled some Christianity. And see, that part of God's plan language, and you probably know this as well or better than I do, Juanita, that part of God's plan language is exactly the kind of psychobabble that happens on any given Sunday in churches that are run by people Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and the rest of that whole nasty grifter bunch.
Yeah, this has been, and it's been going on for so long, Bob, and just like with the global warming, all that stuff's been going on way back yonder. You know, Rush Limbaugh's been on the radio for a long time.
Very long. What is this, 25 years or so?
Yeah, I'm sure. I first heard of him in 1990.
Well, I just, you know, I keep thinking about what Sandra
but
says.
I know
you know, glory call.
But I was working at this place, and we could play the radio then. And this girl I worked with, she liked him because she thought he was funny. And I after a while, I couldn't help it. I mean, it seemed like he was on 5 hours a day. And I got this.
Only five?
I can't listen to this anymore.
You know, when I'd be out driving around and it was on the radio, wherever I was going felt like it took twice as long. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And, you know, when we had those hurricanes here, and you and I were out of lights, and I had a little radio I could get a couple of stations on, and one of them was from Orlando, and they were really good about letting us know what was going on. And they had like a young guy and a young girl that they were liberals, and they were wonderful to listen to. But before the day was over, here come Rush Limbaugh. And also that was my introduction to, the Beck. He was on there. And that's all you could hear for a while. But I just listened. That young couple, they were great. They were great, wonderful. But, I don't know if you had any radio communication or not when you were with that line.
I would go out and sit in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And turn on the radio, and the coverage was abysmal.
Yeah.
Because because of the way that media operate in this state, Juanita, it was like listening. Well, you know, it was propaganda for the power company.
Oh, yeah?
And it was people calling in saying, thank you so much for getting my power on. I love Appalachian power.
Yeah.
And every now and then a crank would get through, you know, somebody who wasn't happy.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they got the bum's rush.
Yeah. Kind of like a limbo.
Yeah. I do have to ask it. You heard what... Mrs. Romney said, right?
Oh, yeah, today.
You people?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was any truth to it, but I saw a Twitter pic that said that she was staring right at Robin Roberts.
Yeah.
When she said, you people.
Yeah, I saw that. She was.
Oh, can't he... I want him to build his spaceship and fly off to Kolob or wherever. I really do.
Well,
I'm tired.
Were you the one that said, or did I hear someone else, the guy that played in Star Wars, I think, he said that Romney was not a human. He was...
I don't know.
Unidentified flying object.
Well, I was sitting in the Malloy chat room last night, and I found out something that was absolutely bizarre. And I, not that I doubt anybody, I just had to go and see it for myself, and lo and behold, it was true. Do you know that the Mormons have baptized Adolf Hitler in death?
Oh, Lord. Well, that's what they believe in.
I kid not.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't there some people who should just be left to, I mean, assuming there's a hell, aren't there some people who didn't get there by accident that actually earned the trip? I mean, frequent flyer miles and everything.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to go to any heaven. Mormon heaven or anybody else's, where I'm going to run across a little guy with a Charlie Chaplin mustache who says, oh, yes, I have been forgiven for all those millions of people I killed. It's lovely up here. I don't want that.
Well,
Pete, Bob,
he'll go to one of the lower heavens of the Mormons. They have the lower heavens.
Well, no, the conversation, the comment thread that I read spoke specifically to enabling him to make it all the way to the celestial kingdom, which is your Romney 1% heaven.
Well,
but his spirit has a lot of ordinances to work through. You know, I think Adolf Hitler worked with enough ordinance as it was. That's a play on words there, ordinance.
Enough ordinances?
Yeah. Yeah, in the Mormon church, there are ordinances, rituals, things you have to do. Right, and then, of course, no, the joke I was making was that Hitler worked with enough ordinance, because another meaning for the word ordinance is like explosives.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
You're very educational.
I'm in the swamp, and now I'm just wading along, Juanita. It's all your fault.
Yeah. But I think he's just absolutely disgusted. And said he's not sorry about having the gun. He's not sorry about killing that boy.
No, and the only way that this does any good is if your hope is to set up an insanity plea.
Mm.
Or to plant it. Or, I don't know. You live there, not me. You've got a better handle on this. You know, the jury pool will be drawn from the Floridians tried and true.
Right.
How many of them are going to hear him say, God's plan, and think, well, you know, nothing happens that's not God's plan. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Maybe that little boy was going to grow up to be Pol Pot.
I think there was a lot of politics in it to begin with, is why they didn't charge him to begin with. And,
Okay, yeah, Marty, writing in to say, apparently Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, did say something to that effect about our money, or Romney.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think about them? I'm beginning to wonder about the takeover about the Mormon church, if he does get in, because it's like, don't dare ask us anything. We don't have to say anything.
No.
But, you know, I just, I don't know. It's, I think about it, I think about, I like that Republican said the other day, everything's going to change. Romney gets in. And we're going to see a few things that Obama did good. You know?
Oh, it's, no, and that's the thing. The possibility of having to say President Romney for 4 years is enough to send me offshore. I mean, maybe I will cough up that $270 for that Learn German Now course. You understand what I'm saying? But the other thing is that 1 year into the Willard Romney administration, you just keep saying that, Willard Romney administration, you know, especially for the folks who, I'm not going to vote for that Obama. Not telling anybody how to do it, but just say Willard Romney a few times and, you know, Willard Romney administration. 1 year, 1 year into the Willard Romney administration and the Barack Obama administration, I promise you, will look like an exercise in unrestrained liberalism. Now, I personally find that difficult to believe myself, but I also understand what an absolute economic terrorist
Yeah.
Willard Romney is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. What about Michelle Bachmann's latest?
Oh, God almighty.
Well,
when that nasty old Ed Rollins has to come out and say that she's a bat.
Oh, he said that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was quite shocking, really. Ed Rollins, and you know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was her campaign chief at one point. He said her unsubstantiated charge against Ms. Abedin, a widely respected top aide to Secretary Hillary Clinton, accusing her of some sort of far-fetched connection to the Muslim Brotherhood, is extreme and dishonest. He started out the whole thing by saying, shame on you, Michelle. And he added, having worked for Congressman Bachmann's campaign for president, I am fully aware that she sometimes has difficulty with her facts, but this is downright vicious and reaches the late Senator Joe McCarthy level. That's Ed Rollins, okay? Ed Rollins eats little babies for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about, absolutely.
I mean, Bomber John McCain got all head up on the Senate floor over it.
Yeah, he did.
And Michelle still won't take it back. Now that, and
well,
so...
Well, you know, her and some other congressmen, congresspeople... have filed with a state or something, or
and it's just sickening and well, I'd say it was pathetic, except it's such a hate-filled, deliberate act that there's no pathos involved, Juanita. But what it really tells you, or what it's gonna tell us, okay? Because it wasn't that surprising to see some Frank Gaffney-driven. The vicious vitriol come pouring out of her mouth like some sort, like the pea soup scene in The Exorcist. Okay, that was not surprising, or out of her pen. But here's what's going to be surprising. And frankly, if there's anybody listening who's into Minnesota politics, write this down. This is the ad that they need to run. This is not a referendum on Michelle Bachmann in November. This is a referendum on the people of her district. If the people of her district return her to office, then whatever that plurality or majority number is can be safely said to be every bit as sick as she is.
Of course, because they can see what they're getting. Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe we'd go a lot further if we would understand the import of voting, and that votes cast are acts done within a moral or amoral or immoral universe, and that one picks and chooses one over the other based upon the candidates one chooses.
Yeah.
And that certainly applies to Michelle Bachmann's district. God, I hope she's got some kind of a viable opponent.
Well, she's another one of them that... I'll bring up again about Sean Hannity. You know, that guy, he knows who he can get the most...
Yeah. Oh, no. We lost Juanita. But, I mean, we understand the whole... The whole dirty bunch, from Bachmann to Ed Hastings to Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, they're all operating without even the tiniest smidgen of morals or ethics or any kind of compassion that makes us something a little more human than the apes dancing around the dancing with bones in their hands around the monolith in 2001. Yeah. Well, moving along, and light them up if you want to. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Moving along, let's see if you're still there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, who?
Cassie,
okay.
Is that already?
Oh, yeah, no, you got conjured a couple of nights ago. Okay, I'm glad you called.
Who conjured me?
I think it was Michael in Sebastopol said he badly needed to hear from you to have a little bit of hope for the future rekindled in his soul.
Oh, Well, I don't know if I can make tonight for that, but I will try. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't want to load you down with any kind of burden or anything, but that's what he said.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell him hi. So I have two stories that I saw on Salon front page today that are they tell everything that's wrong with this country.
Okay. I would be dubious of that from many people, but not from you.
Okay. So the first one is Anne losing her patience about the taxes.
You people, yes.
Yeah, okay, you people. And just, I mean, the evidence on that woman is... Okay, I'm at Princeton, and her arrogance is surprising to me. Like, it's worse than anything I deal with. So, that's the first one. And then the second one is a couple... Like a paragraph or two, no, I'm sorry, like a couple stories down the page. The country that lets kids go homeless.
Yep.
That is all about how many families are homeless. As whole families. And that they can't even find shelter space and they can't find any way out of homelessness. And
as the comedian Yakov Smirnov used to say, America, what a country. Only I don't think that's what he was talking about.
Bob, this is not helpful. These two stories together are just... It's the 1% and the 99%.
Yes.
And it's the wealth class and...
Hey, Cassie, can I ask you a favor, dear?
Yeah.
Your connection's kind of dodgy. I don't know if it's your internet connection or whatever. But if you would like to, it's been a while since we talked, and I badly want to, I want everybody to hear what you're saying. Could you try to reconnect real quick, or if you want to try Skype or whatever? You're breaking up and falling out.
I can call you back. I can tell you back a different way.
Okay. I'll be waiting.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm not trying to be rude or anything. You know that. But it's pretty special when Cassie calls in. And if the interweb tubes are not cooperating, we want to find a way to make them cooperate. By the way, Dr. John just let me know, there's a great website out there now. Does some highfalutin ciphering for you right there on the fly. RomneyJustMade.com. Just like it sounds. RomneyJustMade.com. And it's a widget. And so you can put in a number, like how long it takes you to get something done. The example that Dr. John gives is, in the time it takes me to listen to the horn, Mitt Romney makes $38,942.28. Wrong business, Bob. Wrong business. So have some fun. And by the way, since I did mention that they baptized Hitler, the Mormons, just a reminder, because Tim from L.A. reminded me of it earlier today. Remember, all Mormons are now gay. If they can baptize dead, really, in the Mormon Church, Adolf Hitler.